Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Christmas Eve comes from our gospel reading of Luke. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Thus far the text. What does a mother ponder in the moments after giving birth? Does she ponder the last couple of hours of labor as she endured pain that she never thought possible? Does she ponder the last 9 months as her body changed and morphed and did things that it never had done before? Perhaps she thinks about this miracle, that what was once kicking and squirming and squiggling and moving inside of her is now lying there in her arms. Maybe her mind is racing with how her life now is forever changed. Maybe she's overwhelmed with the thought of how she now has to care for this little helpless baby, and she doesn't even know how to nurse or properly fasten a diaper. Maybe the ponderings in her mind are just a jumbled mess of joy and terror and relief and exhaustion. Perhaps it's a little bit of all of them. And surely the same was true for Mary. She was no different than any other mother who has ever given birth. And Joseph, too. He, as this first-time dad who didn't have a clue but would pretend until he got it right and just muddle his way through it. But certainly, Mary, she had more to treasure, more to ponder in her heart than probably any one of us. For there, lying in her arms, is the child that was promised to her 9 months previous by the angel Gabriel. There, nursing at her breast, is the child who just moments before was worshipped by a bunch of strangers who had the most extraordinary tale to tell of angels and choirs and singing and glory. There, cooing and crying and soiling and slobbering, is the very God of the universe, wrapped up in a tiny little bundle small enough to lie in a manger. It's the sort of thing that's different, really, to ponder. We can try and put ourselves in her shoes, and perhaps we should this Christmas night, but I'm not sure that we can ever get close to understanding the things that were being treasured up in Mary's heart. Mary was now holding God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. Gabriel had told her so much. Her husband had also certainly shared the story of his dream too, and now the shepherds came and told her the exact same thing. Now, how that was going to look years from now, I don't think she fully knew. A first-time parent doesn't know what it's like to be a parent, no matter how much they talk to others about it. And add to the fact that this child was God, was Christ, was the Savior of the world. How in the world does a mere mortal understand all of that? But there, lying in her arms, was her baby boy, who was born to bring peace to mankind, peace with God, who was named Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. I suppose she treasured and pondered the way that any mother actually does, in hope and joy and uncertainty. But surely a mother doesn't stop treasuring and pondering soon after the birth of her child. She does this all her life until she takes her final breath. And so Mary must have as well. What must it have been like to have Simeon hold her baby in his arms, there in the temple courts, and thank God that he has now seen the Lord's Christ? What must have gone through her head when a knock on the door answered to exotic men from a different country, when they offered her child, gold fit for a king and frankincense and myrrh made for a funeral? What sort of abject terror must have hit her in the gut when she lost her kid in Jerusalem for 3 days? And then the confusion that must have come when he exclaimed, "Where else would I be except my father's house?" What did she think when her grown-up child turned water into wine? When he told the crowd of people that they were all his mother and brothers and sisters? What sort of dread must have pierced through her heart when she stood there helpless at the foot of the cross, watching her son die a torturous death? And what unimaginable joy must have washed over her when she saw him standing there in front of her, in her very midst, 3 days later, risen from the dead? I don't know the answer to any of these things, and I don't think any of us does. But perhaps it is something akin to pondering all that we have this night as we celebrate the birth of our God and Savior and contemplate all the reasons why he would actually take on human flesh. And maybe it's something in between unbelief and blind faith, knowing that the unimaginable and the impossible and the completely irrational and illogical is actually true, despite the fact that it certainly can't be. And maybe it's like the "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief" sort of stuff that we must hold on to in the midst of the impossible become possible. And maybe it's the trust that only a sinner can have when his God says, "You are forgiven." And maybe it would be good for us to ponder these things here tonight before we embark on all the festivities over the next 24 hours. For apart from the things that we find in our gospel reading, what is the meaning of anything that we're going to find underneath the Christmas tree or at the Christmas table? For who among us isn't scared of the things that actually hurt and harm us, the things that threaten to destroy us? Who among us isn't overcome with the guilt and the shame and the dread and the fear over the past sins that we keep harbored up into our closed hearts? And even if we can seem to lay them aside for just a Christmas celebration, they're still going to be there waiting for us tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, a few days down the road. And who among us isn't touched by death? And maybe a day like today, tonight, a Christmas evening when loved ones are no longer around us to help us celebrate, maybe that makes the specter of death that much more frightening. So yes, perhaps we should take a moment to ponder all of these things as well. For isn't that the real purpose and point of Christmas? Shouldn't we tonight, of all nights, celebrate sins forgiven and death dead and Satan's head crushed, all because of this little baby boy in Bethlehem? If not tonight, when? And yes, I know tonight and tomorrow too, we will celebrate many things, and some of them have absolutely nothing to do with church, and that's all right. We can treasure the beauty of the Christmas tree and the feast laid out for us tomorrow at the dinner table, gifts given and gifts received. We can ponder how wonderful it is to have family and friends around us, or think lovingly back on the years gone by and all of the memories made by the past Christmases. Do all of those things, because all of those things are gifts from God for us to enjoy and treasure and ponder up in our hearts. But more than all of that, let us ponder Jesus. Let us ponder God in the flesh and the salvation that he has brought to us. Let us treasure up in our hearts the fact that while we were still sinners, God became one of us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us ponder the mystery of the incarnation, that the God of the universe became flesh, human, and was a baby in a manger. That he came here to earth so that he could live our life and make all of the things that we experience his very own. Let us treasure up the cross and the grave and the resurrection from the dead, when Jesus won for us the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. And finally, let us ponder the Word made flesh come to us this very day, even tonight. Let us ponder the Word that created all things, the Word that became man, the Word who is the very Word who speaks words of forgiveness into our doubting ears and sinful hearts. Let us ponder the miracle of our baptism, where you were washed clean, where you were made to be a child of God, where you were buried into the death of that baby in Bethlehem and brought to new life just as he was risen from the dead. And let us ponder a baby put in a manger. A manger. That was certainly no accident. That first Christmas morning, the Word made flesh was found in the wrappings of an infant laid inside a vessel meant for food. Where else would he be laid? Isn't he the bread of life come down from heaven? And doesn't he feed you this very day with his own body and blood? And maybe it's all just too much for us to ponder and make sense of. I would think that it was for Mary too. But that's okay. Even though we can't wrap our minds around this whole God in the flesh thing, it makes no difference. He was, he is, and he is for you. He is for you for your forgiveness of sins and salvation, even today. So this Christmas, let us ponder the miraculous, and then let us receive in faith the impossible salvation that is ours in this child of Mary. In the name of Jesus.